Pastor. Well, I've been working in this field for a long time, and it's increasingly evident that the arts can really do something tangible in terms of improving our mental health. There are lots of studies that show that it can, but the work I'm referring to often takes place in very specific areas, like in, you know, hospitals or recovery programs. And so what we're trying to do is to leverage our arts infrastructure and our arts institutions, if you like, and create a big festival that sits alongside the other major Sydney festivals, like the Biennale or the Sydney Festival, but that straddles these two areas of arts and mental health, if you like. So it's really good, really entertaining, really stimulating, cutting-edge art practice, but with a difference, with real potential health benefits.
That's a great thing to be able to see. You've got 60 events across Greater Sydney. It would seem like there's a real exploration in a whole bunch of artistic fields involved in it.
There is, and so some quite new and adventurous sort of genres, if you like. We have a lot of immersive environments, so places where technology is used to create environments that interact with mood in quite interesting ways and enable us to reflect on how we might control moods or get on top of them and to think about exactly what is in the environment that affects us. But also, you know, a whole range from visual art exhibitions through to a theatre, short theatre season at the Seymour Theatre, and then conversation-based events. We've got a nice programme at Customs House, which is really based around the idea of one-on-one, small-scale, intimate conversations, but ones that bring a kind of creative, artistic twist. So we're really thinking about how we can design spaces and context for enabling people to reflect on mental health and to have fun engaging with ideas.
Well, see, I love that idea of conversations and conversations here, because I think one of the first things is awkward conversations. What kind of conversations are we looking to have in these spaces?
Well, all sorts. You know, we started from the premise that conversation about mental health just is awkward, right? Nobody wants to have it. It's embarrassing, it's difficult, it's potentially compromising. But on one level, it's just the thing we have to do. And so we wanted to just totally mainstream that and to say that, you know, this is not about, you know, a small group of people with some sort of clinical diagnosis who are outside the mainstream. It's about the experiences in every family. You know, all of us know what anxiety is on some level. Most of us during our lives go through difficult or catastrophic events or even traumatic events that we need to process that are very difficult. And if we don't talk about mental health, we don't know how to deal with that. It can get out of hand, and we don't know how to support others. So just the fact of not hiding that, but allowing that kind of awkwardness to show, we think is really positive. So the Awkward Conversations program really invites people to have conversations in different modes and all sorts of different people with you know, very different life events. So we've got, for example, Dawn Joy Leong, who's an artist, an autistic artist and autism advocate, who talks about how for autistic people being in the city and in noisy environments is incredibly stressful. Then we've got Deborah Keenahan, who is an artist with achondroplasia or dwarfism, and she says she never goes out in the street without being stared at, right? Why? Because people are anxious when they encounter someone who doesn't look like them. So there's another kind of anxious encounter and that she wants to tackle head on. And then we have people with different kinds of lived experience of anxiety, depression. We also have someone talking about the experience of having thoughts about suicide. So these kind of topics that are, you know, we often kind of pussyfoot around because they are so difficult. Nobody wants to go there. What if you just have them have a discussion in a matter-of-fact way? And often in a kind of really entertaining way. So we've got you know, creative encounters. We've got a foot bath. We've got all sorts of things going on that you know, just enable people to sort of chill out a bit around these discussions. And then we've got some other sort of more informal gatherings. We've got a care cafe at the State Library. We've got long tables and all sorts of things like that, right up to the larger scale, more familiar kind of panel events.
And just finally, I suppose the idea of loyalty, you know, it's not just the festival is a space to be created, but maybe having people taking away the message or this of working creativity into their day-to-day lives and helping them deal with anxiety, mental health issues in that as well.
Absolutely. So this is, I mean, increasingly, there's a lot of evidence about the impact of engaging in art, either firsthand at making activity or, you know, just partaking or, you know, participating in arts events. And in particular, there's a recent study coming out of Otago that's shown that the benefits accrue. So if you engage in an art activity, the next day, there will be a positive impact on your mood and, you know, on your depression or anxiety levels. And that's really important. And we think that that's something that we need to capture because it's not just the doing of the thing as a kind of distraction. It's that art, if used positively, can do a lot more. It can really help you to reflect on and understand what's going on in your head or someone else's head, and that we think is really priceless. That can really make a contribution that almost no other area can make.
Well, Jill, the Design Craft Festival is taking place from the 20th of September to the 11th of November. I wish you all the very best of luck. It's a terrific festival. I'm obviously going to be awesome.
Thanks very much, John.